story told about a pastor who got up to speak, but he had a Band-Aid on his face, and so he thought he'd better explain himself. And so he said, this morning when I was shaving, I was thinking about my message and cut myself. At the end of the service, after they'd taken an offering up and everything else, there was a note in the plate, and someone said, next time, think about your face and cut the sermon. What are the things that we have our attention on this morning? Are these thoughts and ruminations working for us or against us in our faith with God? Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you had a plan to restore us back to yourself and bring us peace inside, no matter the storm without. We want the whole weight of our lives to rest on your faithfulness and promises of who you are and what your character is like. Free us from the thoughts and ideas that we need to prove ourselves and do enough good things to earn your favor. Help us to embrace your grace with all of ourselves. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our text today is in Galatians 3, 15 to 18. Ernie, well, he's got it up. I'm going to read it to you. Galatians 3, 15 to 18. Brothers and sisters, I give you an example from daily life. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one adds to it or annuls it. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, as of many, but it says, and to your offspring, that is, to one person who is Christ. My point is this, the law which came 430 years later does not annul a covenant previously ratified by God, so as to nullify the promise. For if the inheritance comes from the law, it no longer comes from the promise, but God granted it to Abraham through the promise. Have you ever experienced a time in your life where there was such great upheaval and conflict? Such things can come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, and we rarely are able to pick the times and seasons when they arrive. I've mentioned this before, but the hardest year of my life was when I was going into grade 9. I had no idea what was coming, but in the end, it ended up being like an avalanche of difficulty. My mom and dad had a very conflictual marriage, which was physically abusive. One day, my mom went on the Greyhound bus to go shopping in Edmonton, and she never came home. I really felt connected to my mom, and so I felt abandoned. Second, I got my first job in the summer that was off the farm. It was at a plant in Fort Saskatchewan that my dad worked at. They made plastic water pipe and sewer pipe and fiberglass. In many ways, it was a very hands-on, manual and mechanically inclined job, which is the opposite of my gifting and personality, so it just highlighted my weaknesses. It was the worst job I was to ever have in my life. Third, in grade 9, we moved from a small guppy school in Bruderheim to shark-infested waters in Lamont High School. One of the goals was trying to avoid being beaten up every day. These were the years I learned to run fast so as to not be eaten by the prey. You've had similar time periods in your life, and probably for some even more complicated and painful than mine was. The Christian church in the area of Galatia is in a spiritual upheaval, and they're confused and not sure which way to turn. When incredible shakings and shatterings happen in our lives, we're not sure who or what we can trust. Do we just disregard everything that has happened in our lives to this point and just flush it down the toilet, hoping for a new beginning? Or are we on the right track and it's hard to see our way through in the present blizzard? The Apostle Paul's trying to speak peace into the storm of these early followers' hearts. He knows life is difficult and full of suffering, but there's always a way through with Christ. Sometimes we find ourselves completely overwhelmed through sickness, broken relationships, financial issues, job struggles, or our mental health is not in a good season. It wouldn't take much to push us over the edge. And this is the way the Galatian Christians are feeling. Their lives have turned 180 degrees from paganism to a new life in Christ. Whatever they were involved in, how they thought, and what was precious in their lives was turned on its head. As these new believers were just settling into a new life of new way of life, false teachers infiltrated the church and upset the apple cart. The majority of the church was made up of Gentiles who were previously pagans. And then Judaizers, those with Jewish backgrounds who embraced Christianity, entered the picture demanding these Gentiles follow their former Jewish religious rules. We call this piling on. If you thought the weight of your load was too much before, look out, this will crush you. Are we being crushed by having more and more placed upon us? Galatians 3:15, brothers and sisters, I give you an example from daily life. Once a person's will has been ratified, no one adds to it or annuls it or cancels it. Does anyone here have a will or has done a will and testament? None of you have. I'm going to open a new business in Mooreville. Give me a couple days. I have to get the printing from the printer. Why do people do wills? They want to make sure their possessions are given or handed down to the right people. Quite often, people come in and have me sign papers validating they are who they are to witness their signature. So some people actually do have wills. Often I'll tease and say, does this mean you're not leaving anything to me in your will? By signing their documents, I cannot benefit in any way from their gifting because it would be seen as a conflict of interest. What happens if you've done more than one will in your lifetime? The most recently dated will is the one that'll held up in the court when you pass from this life to the next. But what if I grabbed a red marker and wrote on your will that Lewis will get all the chocolate that you have in your house when you die? I'd be tampering with your will, and it could put the validity into question. So just so you know, once you do a will, you cannot at a later date start doodling on it and changing things. It'll become void. If you want to change things, you need to do a new will and have it signed by witnesses. Paul's point is just like you cannot change a will, you cannot change the promises of faith that God has given to all those who have placed their trust in Jesus Christ. If our human wills can last the test of time, how much more so when God makes a covenant or agreement with us? These Jews who have become Christians are pointing to Moses and the law as to what you should strictly follow in a way to please God. But the apostle points to God's agreement to Abraham and faith, which preceded or came before the law of Moses. Galatians 3:16, now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, as many, but it says to your offspring, that is to one person who is Christ. The promises that God gives are immutable or unchangeable. The promises God made to Abraham were not fulfilled through the law, but their fulfillment came through Jesus. As a result, it is in effect forever. Throughout the Jewish history, everyone recognized that their future hope, rescuer, deliverer, was not going to be through a group of people, but through an individual, the long-awaited for Messiah. This is why in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 1, the genealogy he follows is from Father Abraham to Jesus the Messiah. Galatians 3:17, my point is this. The law which came 430 years later does not annul or cancel a covenant agreement previously ratified by God so as to nullify the promise. So what held the people of Israel in their relationship with God over the more than 400 years? It was based on their faith and obedience in God, not on their following religious laws or ceremonies. I had a friend who was divorced and end up living with a woman who was also divorced. They decided to get married in their home with a private ceremony and with just the justice of the peace. She had taken care of the details. He found out 2 years later that the justice of the peace was not really the justice of the peace, but a friend of hers, and the papers they signed were not authentic, and she was still married to somebody else. Confused yet? I am. When God promises something about his character or his relationship with us, it is unbreakable no matter how much time passes. It's permanent. Galatians 3:18. For if the inheritance comes from the law, it no longer comes from the promise. But God granted it to Abraham through the promise. Either those who follow Christ are justified and made right by faith, or they're made right by the law. It's either one or the other. It cannot be both. This is why in Romans 5:1, Paul makes this statement. Therefore, since we've been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Elida Hussein, 78, from Rotterdam, Netherlands. She's been smoking for 50 years. She's tried everything you can imagine to quit, but she's not been successful until recently. She's now giving up her cigarettes, her pipe, her cigars. The secret, Leo Jansen, 79-year-old. They started dating a year earlier. He proposed marriage on one condition. She had to quit smoking. Elida said, willpower was never enough to get me off tobacco. Love did it. It's amazing how the love of God brings incredible changes in our lives that otherwise would be impossible. Why was the early church so flustered by the words of these Jewish Christians? I think we all want to be reassured that we're on the right track. These believers faced enormous persecution for being followers of Jesus. Some were beaten, imprisoned, had their possessions or what they deemed as valuable taken away, and some were martyred. They left everything to follow Jesus, which was a hard road, the Via Dolorosa, the path of sorrows. In contrast, the Jews are promoting Jesus plus dietary rules, Jesus plus circumcision, Jesus plus the law and the prophets. Were these things bad in themselves? No. Take circumcision, for example. In Colossians 2:11 and 12, it uses the physical imagery of circumcision to point to our water baptism. When you came to Christ, you were circumcised, but not by physical procedure. Christ performed a spiritual circumcision, the cutting away of your sinful nature. For you were buried with Christ when you were baptized, and with him you were raised to a new life because you trusted the mighty power of God who raised Christ from the dead. The law was like a light that revealed the darkness in our hearts and lives. It helped us recognize our broken state with God and each other. But it could not rescue us or save us. Only Jesus could do this through faith. So the obvious question is, what gives you right standing or right relationship with Jesus this morning? Is it all the good things we do, like letting somebody else before us at the grocery line or at the four-way stop? Is it giving food to the food bank or volunteering at the soup kitchen? Is it giving our resources, our money, our time, our possessions to charity? The answer should be no. We are saved through Jesus Christ by grace, not by works, not by anything that we can achieve. Do we have expectations of what others should be doing to earn their way to God? People disappoint us all the time, and we disappoint people all the time. It's a great thing that we are not the measuring stick of what is the best way of doing faith. I do want to say that when Jesus changed our hearts, it should change our world, our motivation about what we care about, and what this looks like in a practical way. The good fruit coming out of our faith in Jesus should be evident through our actions. We should be exhibiting the fruit of the Spirit, which we'll cover in Galatians chapter 5. We should be hospitable, generous, caring, loving, forgiving, patient, long-suffering for the cause of God's kingdom, which involves all people and the planet we were given to care for. In James 2:14 to 16, it says this: "What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, 'Goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well,' but then you don't give the person any food or clothing. What good does that do? Rules will not save us. Only God can. And then once we encounter the grace and the love of Christ, we're compelled to love everything that God loves and holds dear to his heart. Just as Abraham acted in obedient faith, we can too." Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the gift of life and the gift your Son has brought to all of us. You are the only one who can move our despair into hope, our worry into peace, our sorrow into joy, and physical death into life eternal with you. And so we choose to rest in your goodness and love for us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. You wrestle with the sinner's restless heart. You lead us by still waters into mercy, and nothing can keep us apart. So remember your people.
I have a couple announcements. I'll do a benediction. We'll sing one more song, and then you're dismissed. Our youth meet Wednesday, 7, 8:30.
6:30 this week.
Thank you. 6:30?
Going to Aspen.
Oh, my word. You're going to have to get up earlier in the day, aren't you? Make a note of that. Youth at 6:30 this week. We have wonderful young people that come. If you, in your prayers at night, could be praying for our teenagers. They have enormous challenges, pressures, and I'm, you know, that's even beyond what their parents put on them. And just pray for God's grace, that they sense God's presence with them. We have different home groups through the week. We're still looking for people to sign up as greeters and to help teach our Sunday school. If you're here this morning and you're asking yourself the question, do I measure up? Do I measure up as a parent? Do I measure up as a child, as a spouse, as a friend? You are asking the wrong question. God is not asking you to measure up. Mm-hmm. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing that His grace is enough. His love covers a multitude of sin, all of our sin. There's nothing we can do that's going to make Him love us more. We don't need to measure up to anything or anyone. We are saved by His grace. Amen.
Amen. Please stand with us while we close.
We believe.
and he's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that he conquered death. We believe in the resurrection, and he's coming back. He's coming back again. He's coming.
Great week, everybody.